Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Red Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And it's great to welcome him to the Signature Bank Score Hotline. Signature Bank, making commercial banking personal. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Yeah, the Bears lost. I don't know if you were following the end of the game, but it didn't work out as well as maybe some had hoped, and there were a couple of late interceptions, which may have spoiled what was a really good, glorious day for the quarterback, but unfortunately, they didn't get a hand on the other quarterback, and it was yet another Green Bay victory, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, they moved the ball a little bit there in the fourth quarter when they had to, which is more than we can say for those other, fourth quarter opportunities they had this season. You know, when they've had the ball late and you're like, okay, big moment here for a lot of young players, and they, you know, couldn't move the ball at all. They moved it a little bit. They have the first interception on the hitch route to St. Brown, and then they get gashed for the add-on touchdown by Christian Watson, and then they had the second interception where that was a situation where, you know, you need to get a quick field goal there after maybe taking a shot at the end zone and then try an onside kick because you're down multiple scores. But Fields played better. There's no question about that. Green Bay's defense hasn't been stopping anyone, and the Bears' defense was terrible up front. Although, guys, I think you got to give defensive coordinator Alan Williams and his assistants and some of those rookie defensive backs some credit. They weren't amazing, but if you would have told anyone before the game that you're going to limit Rodgers to 182 yards passing, they're going to have a long completion of, I think, 21 yards. With Josh Blackwell and Jalen Jones and Elijah Hicks back there, I think people would have taken it. So those guys played pretty well.
Yeah, and I think Aaron Rodgers was pretty respectful, actually, post-game, asked about that secondary and gave them some props. So that was nice to hear. Brad, when somebody asks you about this game in a week or in a month, when you look back big picture-wise, what will you remember most, or what was the most significant thing that happened Sunday for the Bears?
I think, you know, it's Fields coming back after being out with the injury. And I thought he looked a little bit better in the pocket, right? It wasn't perfect. It's never going to be perfect. But it looked like improvement to me. So I that's the thing I think that sticks with you. That's the thing you're hoping to see continue in the final four games. That's why, you know, they need to rest him, they need to shut him down crowd was just oblivious. These are opportunities for him to go out there and make improvements.
This segment with Brad Biggs is brought to you by global biotech company Horizon Therapeutics, where science and compassion work together to transform lives. And Brad, I guess when I look at this opportunity now, you would say that the Bears with the bye week, can they somehow develop a player? Can they somehow, I mean, the players aren't there, but can you force the defensive line to stay and do extra work? Can you figure out how to churn the roster even more and get yourself another defensive lineman? I mean, they did not touch the quarterback.
Yeah, and that was abysmal. They got to the end of the game, they had zero quarterback hits, and I thought to myself last night, I said, boy, that, you know, this probably hasn't happened in a long time. How it's probably going to take me a while to dig this one up. And you go back and you look, and know on Halloween last year against Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, they didn't lay a finger on him. So it hadn't been that long. No, you're not going to all of a sudden develop a defensive lineman over the bye week and in the final four games. That's simply not going to happen. They're sort of grasping at straws at that position. What you will see on occasion late in the season, and the Bears have made two of those moves already, is potentially trying to poach a player off another team's practice squad. The Bears signed, obviously, the quarterback Tim Boyle away from the Detroit Lions because they were worried they would be undermanned. And then they signed Andrew Brown, a defensive lineman, from the Arizona Cardinals practice squad, and gosh, he actually had a uniform. He was up yesterday. He got out there a little bit. He made one play in the running game that I recall, but he was, you know, he was barely out there. More snaps than I thought. 23 snaps for Andrew Brown yesterday. So you potentially could see another move or two in terms of signing a guy off someone else's practice squad. But no, there's not going to be crazy roster changes. But, you know, the mini buy seemed to serve this team really well back in October after the loss to Washington. So you wonder if Eberflus's position coaches can come up with something to sort of challenge their players to get a little bit better here for the stretch run.
All right, Brad, so it'll take us till the end of the show to go through every quarterback you've covered or seen go to the podium after a Bears game at Soldier Field. But yesterday when Justin Fields did that, and he was very direct in his identifying David Montgomery and needing to run harder on that third down, and Equanimeous St. Brown needing to come out of that break and that route that it led to the interception, it was very direct criticism, if not by name, by position. How unusual is it for a Bears quarterback to be that honest and candid postgame?
You know, it probably doesn't happen that often. Although, you know, I'd hate to pile on Fields in this case for doing that, because I think the one thing that you know, you get some reporters who are like, well, they never name names, and then when they name names, they're like, can you believe it? He named names, like he called somebody out. So, hey, it's easy for the coach and the quarterback to point out Equanimeous St. Brown's shortcomings yesterday. He's not going to be on the roster next season, okay? You know, it's easy to understand why Jair Alexander would be squatting on every route that St. Brown ran. St. Brown was with the Packers. The Packers were very depleted at the wide receiver position at the end of last season. They did not attempt to re-sign him, and he left for the Bears on a minimum contract. Okay, so you get what you pay for, and when Alexander's seen this guy in practice for years, he knows he can get away with that. He got burned on the one, but he said, you know, the guy's just slow coming out of his breaks. He knew he had to play on the ball, so that's kind of what the Bears get. It's probably the quarterback and the coach stating the obvious about a big receiver who, you know, doesn't play particularly fast, isn't particularly physical, and in that case was not a good route runner.
Brad, we already had a call from someone, and it wasn't David, looking to replace the kicker. Where are you at with...
Well, it's David's... it's his brother, okay? His brother was at the game yesterday.
Right. He was right. He's season ticket holder. He's upset and fed up with the kicker. Where do you think I learned it?
The feet of the master.
The kicker has missed, what, four extra points on the season now, which is bothersome. It didn't cost him the game yesterday. He's 18 of 20 on field goals. I think... you know, the field goal miss was obviously too low. You could see that without needing a trained eye. I think he was probably trying to fight the wind a little bit there. It was a 40-yarder. Wanted to keep it out of the stronger winds and just struck the ball too low. So not the best day for Cairo Santos, but I also don't think they're going to go replace the kicker with four games to go.
All right, Brad, let's get to it because you address this in 10 thoughts, and I think it's an interesting point. Bears right now scheduled to pitch second overall in the NFL draft that everybody's already pointing toward. This isn't a great year for quarterbacks at the top of that draft. In past years, you could see having the number two pick and teams desperate to get one of those franchise quarterbacks and giving up a king's ransom to do so. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if the Bears would want to move down from number two if they indeed stay there because of the defensive linemen who might be there to take and they don't want to miss out on. What is your sense of the way that's unfolding as you addressed it in your 10 thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of have doubts at this point that this is the kind of quarterback draft that's going to create a big-time movement near the top of the draft, and maybe I'm wrong, and it would just take one team to fall in love with one player to make some kind of trade that basically everyone else thinks is over the top to get a guy. You know, most people right now seem to think that Bryce Young is the best prospect out there. He's like 5'11", okay? He's a little guy, and that concerns a lot of people. C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, I don't know where they'll go, and they'll surely end up going higher than I probably imagine, and potentially higher than they should go. But I don't know that teams sitting there in the top five are going to be able to hold up other clubs hostage to trade those picks. I don't know this is the year that's going to happen. If it is not, that's fine. There's going to be some super talented players there, but I don't know that this is a situation where Ryan Poles can turn the number two pick or number four pick or whatever it is into multiple first round draft picks and other picks and all things shiny and bright.
I want to get back to Equanimeous St. Brown for a second. Did you kind of cut him there when we were just talking about him? It looks like, you know, he's a guy who's 6'5". He doesn't seem to use his height or size in a very good way. I don't know that there's anybody in this receiving core that you want to build around right now. I suppose Chase Claypool, there's a heavy investment there. But, you know, we heard...
How about Claypool getting hurt on the fumble? Yeah. Like, what was...
Did that bother you? That bothered Patrick Manley a little.
Well, I'm not sure he was injured. That's kind of what I'm trying to figure out there. Because you saw him go to the sideline, he was fine. Then he's jogging on the side, and you're like, well, were you hurt or were you
feelings
just
were hurt
that you fumbled?
Yeah, David said that he saw him grimace.
Looks like he was in some pain during the replay before he fumbled, before he had the ball dislodged. Maybe it hurt a lot more when he lost the fumble, but it did appear that he was in some obvious pain. Somehow.
Right. And then I don't believe he missed a snap. Like he was on, now he's not out there every play, but that just struck me as bizarre. But back to, what was St. Brown?
I heard Jair Alexander, his former teammate, called him a scrub. And a scrub is a guy that thinks he's fly, also known as a buster. I don't know how you feel about a scrub.
Alexander was, they asked Alexander how the interception felt yesterday, and he said it felt like putting on a freshly ironed T-shirt. He said a bunch of stuff that really didn't make a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I mean, St. Brown's just a guy. And if he's not there, are you ready for more of the Velus Jones Jr. experience at wide receiver or more in Keel Harry?
Good catch.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, he did have a nice catch. I don't know that you need to send a message to your roster with 4 weeks to go that, like, hey, this isn't good enough. I'd be very surprised if the guy was in their plans for next year. And he has, you know, he has made some plays for him. He did do a nice job on the deep ball from Fields. So, you know, it sort of is what it is. You look at this Bears wide receiver group and, you know, they've gotten precisely what they paid for, really.
So,
when they've thrown the ball, because they just, you know, yesterday, 25 pass attempts, that's a bunch for them.
Yeah, and they were pretty efficient in the passing game. So I think,
yes, they were.
You know, he took advantage of those opportunities, and that's what made the last 3 minutes all the more disappointing, just because he wasn't able to capitalize. All right, Brad, so we've talked a lot about Alex Leatherwood, especially with you, because I know that you've been monitoring his progress. He got 10 snaps yesterday. Do you think that moving forward, he is somebody they will go to more because of the last four games representing what they do, an opportunity to get people better for next year?
Yeah, I think it only goes up unless Leatherwood does something to change the coaching staff's mind, right? So I think you were getting him going a little bit. He only ended up with 10 snaps because a couple of those series that he was out there were really short. One of them was ended by the Claypool fumble. Another was that they had the deep pass and then Montgomery scores on the next play. So it's a two-play possession right there. So I would think he'll get more time at right tackle. You know, Riley Reiff has done a good job in the meeting room. He's actually played maybe a little bit better than I thought he would. And he certainly logged more than enough playing time to hit the bonus in his contract that'll make him happy at the end of the year as well. So does that mean Leatherwood starts coming out of the bye against the Eagles? I don't know. Do they keep a rotation up? I think I believe if Leatherwood had blown them away in practice, we would have seen him before now, and we would have seen more of him. So that probably hasn't happened to this point, but he gets 10 snaps under his belt yesterday, and you keep an eye on him in practice moving forward, and you hope that he has opportunities so you can, you know, so he can learn and you can learn about him.
Yeah. What do you do during the bye week if you're the Bears? I mean, I think we saw them improve in the mini bye, but I don't know that you can keep churning practice squad players and think you're getting better. I don't know how you do any player development in the bye week. You aren't going to have the players around. You got to give them time off, but you also can kind of look at different things. How do you find a pass rush?
Well, you're not going to find a pass rush during the mini bye because, as you guys know, the shelves down at the pass rush store are empty. Players are going to have meetings today, and I believe they're off after today until next week. I think they get the whole week off. I could be mistaken on that. Maybe Eberflus has a different plan that he announces a little bit later on today. My guess would be that the coaches work for a couple days before they get some time off to kind of, unplug and recharge a little bit. And in the couple days that the coaches work, they're probably doing a lot of what they did during that mini bye. Looking at some of the players and saying, okay, what are a couple things he's doing well? What are a couple things he can get better at? And then they get, bonus practice next Monday before that, at the start of that Eagles week. And you present a couple things to each guy to say, hey, we got four games to go, and here's two or three things we're hoping that you can make improvement on before the end of the season. And perhaps that can benefit some of these guys as they look to close out the year and then see where that'll take them in the offseason.
Did you think Montgomery should have run harder on 3rd and 5?
Oh, God.
Did that stand out to you, Brad? I'm just asking.
No, I'm going to have to go back and look at it, but no, like the whole talk of the Montgomery thing, You know, Montgomery doesn't strike me as a guy that there's ever really an effort issue with. But I guess I'll go back and look at the play again.
Dustin,
well, what did you guys think?
No,
I didn't. I mean, I got to go back and look at it.
He's not a guy whose effort I would question
ever. Yeah.
Right.
Well, what about the play? What about the play?
I thought it was a bizarre play call.
I thought it was a bad play call. Yeah. I blame that on Luke Getsy more than I did David Montgomery, because it's third and five. You took the foot off the gas.
You did.
You got conservative. Yeah. You played it safe.
Well, we've seen that all year, yeah. Right? We've seen these situations that look like clear throwing downs, right, where they're running it, and it's because that's kind of been their comfort spot. So, yeah, I guess I'll go. But that's not a Montgomery issue, the effort thing. Like, that's what he's got going on for him, really, yeah, when you think about it.
Great stuff, Brad. As always, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
That is Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, and we will be talking to him throughout the bye week. His week is no bye. And Dustin believes, I'm not sure of this, but I'm pretty sure he believes that the players shouldn't be getting days off.
Well, that's
the coaches shouldn't be. They should all be running
all
laps,
week long.
Coaches and players
all week off.
And that, he's willing to put the whistle on. And
that's the misprint.
It's funny you said that. I was happy to hear that the players were due at Hallis Hall this morning to watch film with their coaches. But I think they're contractually obligated based on the. Players Association, that they have to have the days.
You guys, these are your off days, but we as coaches are going to run.
I also like hearing Justin Fields say that he had no real plans yet when he was talking to Grody after the game. Like, I like the fact that he didn't say, you know, yeah, I'm heading down to Nashville, or I'm heading down to Mexico, or I'm going off to Miami, or I'm going to L.A. Like,
I've already booked a flight.
Why?
Because I think he might stay here. I think he might stay here, get his body right, rest.
Might need to clear his head. Might need a vacation. Everyone could benefit from that.
David.
I'm glad they're working. Here would have been the issue. Even if they had beat the Packers, and if Eberflus had given them today off and he did not have to,
yeah,
I would have had a problem with
that.
Oh,
I'm fine. Come on.
You take every minute, Dustin, I'm fine with the missed principle. You can spend with these guys and you meet.
312-644-6767.
How much time are you taking off during the bye week, David?
My body's not beaten up. I'm not 3-10.
Are you sure?
What are you saying? Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Bad blood.
Bad blood. That's it.
It's bad blood.
312-644-6767. The Bears a 10-point underdog in the bye week. What do you think? Mully and Haw on the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
DeSantis tried for a field goal, and it was deflected. Joe Barry loves it. Rich Bisaccia loves it. Kenny Clark and T.J. Slayton deny Santos.
It's right in the middle of the... right. Wow.
Just barely got that hand on it.
Yeah, I talked to him just to give him support. I was just giving him support. I haven't seen the tape. I don't know exactly what happened there, but I was just being supportive of him going forward from there.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. The least favorite Brazilian footballer in this beautiful time of the World Cup is Cairo Santos. And the coach, though, Matt Eberflus, he may be a Mac product, but he's not going to take your attitude of anti-kicker.
Wow. You are really going deep history there. Are you suggesting that Cairo Santos was distracted by the World Cup?
No.
Okay.
No, I think he was...
He's got to be better.
He's got to kick extra points. I know they made it more difficult, David, but that's supposed to be automatic.
It should be automatic, and he should be above this. He is a guy that you started to take for granted. He was that consistent, and that was 2021. That was the beginning of this year, but there has been something. I don't know what it is, but you can't walk away during the PAT anymore from the Bears games. You can't kind of look away. You can't be going to the bathroom or getting something to drink or walking away because he might miss. It happens too often, and it happened yesterday again, and then the field goal, which they said was it in fact blocked, because the different replays you can see, I don't know if he just hit it.
Yeah, I think it
poorly.
Was tipped. I think it was.
It was a low
tipped.
Trajectory.
Yes.
And I think maybe that was a 40-yarder, so maybe he was trying to do that on purpose. But bottom line is the Bears that was one position you didn't worry about that now you're beginning to worry about a little bit more.
312-644-6767. We're going to get to all your phone calls in a second. I just wanted to give a shout out to Dustin's favorite quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh. Local guy made good, guy that beat the Packers in the playoffs last year and celebrated with Robbie Gould. That was fun to watch. He suffered a broken foot, a couple of bones broken in his foot, and he is done for the year. The San Francisco 49ers, he was injured and knocked out of the game against Miami. Brock Purdy, he looked awful Purdy, and he came in and they won that game. And I'm sure that that they'll be trying to figure out how they've banked some wins. I think they're a playoff team, but boy, it's a big difference losing your quarterback.
Tough one.
Their second quarterback they've lost this year.
Yeah,
Jimmy in a contract year and a broken foot now, so you feel bad for him.
The third string guy though was pretty good.
He was pretty good. He looked.
He was the last pick of last year's draft. Mr. Irrelevant now becomes Mr. Interesting. Because he's as relevant as ever. I think he's in a good position to succeed, oddly enough. This is not ideal for the 49ers, a team that had legitimate Super Bowl aspirations with Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback. They make the big move for McCaffrey. They're getting people healthy. They've got that defense that you feel like can take them a long way. And now it's going to have to, because Purdy is going to be inexperienced heading into the postseason. Kyle Shanahan, though, if any coach in the league is equipped to handle a challenge like this, in an offense like that, you like his chances.
Mr. Irrelevant is one of the great contests that is out there. If you are the last pick in the draft, you're taken to Southern California, you're feted with a parade and a party. And I remember talking to one of the celebrated is what I meant. One of the Mr. Irrelevance, he was a kicker who came in and tried out with the Bears at one point, I think maybe a year later. And I was talking to him about what it was like being Mr. Irrelevant. He told the story of like going to this parade. They went to the, I believe it is the John Wayne Hospital there. They had like a little ceremony, and then they brought him to a bar where they had a drinking contest. And after he had like whatever, three or four chugged drinks, they threw him on ESPN, and he said he could barely speak English. Like, they really have a lot of fun with the whole Mr. Irrelevant thing. And it's kind of amusing. But to go to Mr. Irrelevant as your starting quarterback for a team with Super Bowl aspirations, I don't know, buddy.
Big challenge. You have to become a system guy, but that is the system that you would want to play in, because it involves a lot of handing off, a lot of short timing passes. You're not going to be asked to necessarily do a lot. If ever there were an offense ideally suited for a game manager, wouldn't that be the one, Mully, in terms of just structure and coaching? And you see what Kyle Shanahan has been able to do.
Dustin likes to say Kyle Shanahan is a stud.
He is a stud.
So he's got to now make Purdy into something special.
Well, or just first do no harm, right?
Yes. Well, they've got Christian McCaffrey. They've got Debo Samuel. I mean, they've got just weapons.
Don't turn the ball over.
You're right. You got to figure out a way to be able to make a play here and there and run the ball and play that great defense.
It's going to be a fascinating contrast in styles no matter who they end up playing in the NFC. Maybe it will be the Eagles. Maybe it will be somebody else. But they're going to probably have to limit their ambition and what they're able to do from the quarterback position in the passing game. They may just run the ball down everybody's throat.
Thank God that the Bears jumped in and got Tim Boyle before the Niners got there. 312-644-6767. Kevin is in St. Charles. Good morning, Kevin.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. I don't know. It's not really a happy Bears Monday. It's a Bears Monday, but
it's a victory Monday because we're winners. We're not scrubs. What are you saying?
Yeah. Maybe some of us are. I'm not one of them. But so before the break, you were giving the Bears 10.5 on the bye week. I'll take the bye week on that one because that's the kind of year it is. This is a player development year, right? That's what we know. It's going to be a crappy record regardless. No one expected us to go to the playoffs. But that being said, we had a couple fourth quarter opportunities this year to do comebacks, right? And we saw the strips, we saw fumbles, we saw not getting out of bounds or whatever. And then this one, Justin Fields actually had the opportunity. And I was a little bummed because there's got to be about 2 minutes left and 3 minutes left in the game. Work the clock. You're down by one. All you need is a field goal. You know, play the strategic part of the game. And on that second interception, he had both Montgomery and Kmet on underneath routes wide open. And though, you know, I'm happy to see him passing as much of the audience wants from him, there was an opportunity there. I wish maybe he can learn from this, is hit your underneath guy, keep moving the chains, keep running the clock, get within 15 yards, take the field goal, win the game. You know, it's what the great teams really do. They don't go for the home run every time. Tom Brady's a master at just taking what the defense gives them. So there's that. And then what was the second thing I was going to say? Just the defense is so horrendous. I can't wait till they do draft for the defense. But thanks for taking my call,
you
guys.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Listen, you know, the defense, it's hard to develop players on a defense when you don't have players to develop right now.
That's when everybody's injured.
Everybody's hurt. I mean, you know, would it be great to see Dominic Robinson develop before the year is out? I think they've tried that. I just think that, You're still worried about his pad. There's just a lot of things that he's trying
to
figure
out. He needs to get stronger.
He's got to get a year in the weight room.
Yes. He is a project who would never be seeing the field on a defense that was playoff caliber. Let's be honest about what he is and what he offers. His best use for the Bears would be ideally in a defense where he's a pass rush specialist, able to play between 15 and 20 snaps a game, not the role he's forced to play because of attrition. As for the interceptions, Kevin, good point. I think the second one, though, you understand why Justin Fields might have been trying to do something or think in taking a chance. There was a little bit more of a desperation mode approach to that drive than the first one, which came when they were on their way driving toward a potential game-winning or go-ahead field goal or touchdown. That's when you want to have better judgment. That's when you want to have better execution. That's the most regrettable throw of the day in my book.
312-644-6767. Back with your calls. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Looking to throw again. Come back route. It is picked off potentially by Johnny Alexander. And sure enough it is. Took it away from his former teammate, Equanimeous St. Brown.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And no, I don't want your number. And no, I don't want to give you mine. This is, of course, No Scrubs. So, Dustin, TLC, no, you're not going to be chasing waterfalls with
No
this
Scrubs.
One? No.
A reference,
tender,
of course.
Loving care.
Of course, to Equanimeous St. Brown.
Was called a scrub by the
Alexander. Yes. By the way, Jerry Alexander had the last laugh, if you will, the last word. Mm-hmm. He did have the pick. He didn't have a great day.
No.
I guess that's the cornerback mentality. You get the pick in crunch time.
That's
you can
all
say
matters.
Whatever you want. Yep. That's all that matters. But first of all, you were pretty much burnt all day. You gave up 6 catches for over 100 yards before that point. Second of all, your defense stinks. The Packers' defense stinks. And yesterday, the Bears did not make them pay for that, but that was a battle, a game between two very limited defenses.
No question about it. And, you know, it's a pity that you are allowed to win and then name call, but that is how life works. So, unfortunately, we didn't hear any response from Equanimeous St. Brown. I don't know if he'll be talking to the media this week. I don't know if anybody will be, given the fact that they obviously are going to be off. And so by the time he's back on the field getting ready for the Eagles, this all may have been forgotten.
Well, he didn't speak to reporters yesterday. He was on his way and then didn't finish real strong.
Yeah, but no. That's too bad. That happens. What are you going to do?
Wasn't the first time that happened to him on Sunday.
No, unfortunately. 312-644-6767. Colin is on the north side. Hey, Colin.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Oh, Colin.
Hey, Colin.
Bless you, buddy.
Sorry.
We're having some issues.
Colin Bott.
Yeah. We'll try to clean up that phone line. Maybe we'll have you call back in. We'll get to you. But
Colin or Alvin?
Not with that high-pitched
robot. Morning, boys. What's going on?
Big Z, you already talked. Let Colin have his moment. Herschel's on the road. Hey, Herschel.
Hey, Herschel.
What's up, guys? How's it going? Love you, Hi. What's going on, brothers?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Herschel?
Hey, I'm just living the dream, baby. I got a real quick statement. I got to take my wife to work because she's pissed at me.
All right.
Anyway, she's a Packer fan. Anyway, I'm going to say this. The whole Claypool thing, I don't want people need to lay off him because it's hard to learn a playbook, let alone an NFL playbook. So people need to give him a chance. He's not going to learn nothing really in the first 3 games or whatever. We got to wait till next year. If he's 3 games in the next season, he's messing up. Then yeah, then kick him out, judge him, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And Dustin was right earlier. The Eberflus should not be taking no days off. We need to learn as much education as we can. Period. You know what I mean? So we need to just like lay off and just take a step back, take a deep breath. Let's enjoy this top 5 pick we're going to have, and let's go get a defensive guy. Technique, you know what I mean? So, like I say, shout out to my boys at the store and Robbie, and you guys have a great Thanksgiving because I won't probably talk to you until afterwards because she's gonna kick my ass if I don't, you know, get on the road.
How about Christmas, Herschel?
Thanks, Herschel.
Good Christmas.
Yeah, we had a good Thanksgiving. Enjoyed Thanksgiving. We did that already.
But I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah.
I understand what he's saying about Chase Claypool. I am willing to be more patient in evaluating this trade because next season I think will be a different context. So far, the results have not been what you wanted them to be.
All right. So let's say that the salary cap does get up to, 200, whatever, 220 is what the rumors have been, maybe 224. And let's say that you have whatever it is, 125 to spend. Next year, you're going to have to make a decision pretty soon on whether you want David Montgomery or not. And I'm talking about just an offer. It would appear no. I don't know why you would suddenly make that decision. But next year, you got to figure out contracts for a few different players. Obviously, do you want Jalen Johnson back? You would think that he'd be a guy that'd be in line for a pay raise.
You asking me if I want Jalen Johnson back?
I'm asking you how you're going to handle these following players.
Okay.
Cole Kmet, right? You got to figure out what you're going to do with Chase Claypool, who is your guy.
Yeah.
It's not a guy you inherited. And who's the fourth? There's one other young player that is up that I'm drawing a blank.
Did you mention Montgomery?
Yeah, Montgomery's this year. Next year is the other.
Oh, you mean looking ahead?
Yeah.
Well, I think that you're not in a position with your roster to be discarding players whose development you have invested time and resources in this year and have probably, for the most part, the ones you mentioned, not been disappointing. Jalen Johnson's somebody you want to bring back and lock up long term.
Darnell Mooney,
let's wait and see what happens with his return
from
an injury.
You're not locked into Darnell Mooney coming back with the contract. I'm just saying, these are decisions. Next year,
are you asking me in the offseason if I'm going to lock up Darnell Mooney?
Yes.
Why would you right now?
Okay, no.
There's too much uncertainty surrounding that ankle surgery.
Is it no? Is that
– Kmet's a yes.
Kmet's a yes.
Yeah.
Who else?
Claypool.
Johnson.
Jalen Johnson's a yes for me.
And Claypool?
Claypool's a let's wait and see. I want to wait and see – You don't have to make a decision this offseason on Chase Claypool.
Okay.
I want to see more evidence. I want to see more production.
Three of them were inherited and one you brought in. Doesn't that impact whether or not you want to make a commitment? If two of them are definitely yeses and you're
I understand why we look at it in those terms. I think that if you're Ryan Poles, you got to get past this idea of looking at guys whether I inherited them or brought them in. You got to get past your preconceived notions about Jalen Johnson. He's not your guy, but you inherited him, okay? Or Cole Kmet or Darnell Mooney, I guess, to a lesser degree. You got to look at them. Are they football players that fit what we're looking for? Can we see them playing a role on a very good team?
And I mean, I think they're all yeses, frankly. And I think the problem, if I'm Darnell Mooney and then he becomes a no and you don't want him back, that's a guy that sacrificed for the team that got injured while blocking. I just think that it's a harsh reality, and the NFL is harsh.
I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's fair at all. Yeah. But can you tell me what kind of condition he's going to come back from the surgery?
No.
So are you willing to invest blindly into a contract with a guy you don't know how much of a burst he might have lost and how much?
And the other element here is that I don't think you're going to offend any other players if you don't. Like, I think that players care about themselves. I don't think that you're sending a message to – I don't think you have enough young players in the system to scare them away by not paying a Mooney.
That's all I'm saying, too, is that when you're in a position like Ryan Poles, you can't afford to be that guy. You may want to, but this is a different scenario. This is a tear down and then a rebuild. And you can't really – you don't have that luxury yet to be that emphatic with your statements. You're just trying to get players who can produce.
Yeah.
And keep.
I agree.
And develop.
312-644-6767. Brad is listening on the Odyssey app. Let's squeeze him in. Hey, Brad.
Good morning, guys. Hello. Morning.
Yes, hey, Brad. We're here.
Hey, good. I think they need to get rid of Williams. I know he doesn't have much to work with, but the point is, with zero pressures, no sacks, why don't we blitz more to try to create turnovers and play more man coverage?
All right, Brad. Thanks for the call. we got to get to a break, but I think we need to discuss that. I think we need to take a look at who was playing. And when you are replacing three quarters of your starting secondary and you're going to get mad because you're not blitzing, are you paying attention to what
you can't blitz with that secondary? You can't put those guys on an island and accentuate their weakness any more than Aaron Rodgers was going to be able to do. When we come back, I do want to talk about how that call and that question about the defense relates to what Brad Biggs talked about and wrote about in 10 Thoughts. The Bears are that high in the draft and they choose not to trade down. It will be because they've identified a generational talent on the defensive line because the need is so glaring.
312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.